B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Everybody, I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Heinsohn. Welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich, should I blast myself? Same old jokes, even worse than Fred. Man, don't know dick. Makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Sucking up to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now, throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mass, brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, a brother close to me.
Puckhead.
And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, tell him, T, tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T, give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T, out.
Take that, 98 Mile.
One, two, three, go! 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And good morning to Mr. John Wallach and Mr. Joe Murray sitting in this morning. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Rich. How are you today?
Good morning, John.
What's up? Rich, how are you? You doing okay?
So John has moved over to the a-hole seat, which is nice. He's kind of gone over, and it's like with a switch of chair, a switch of attitude, which
that's
I like.
Right, yeah.
So get a little chirping this morning, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Happy Patriots Day to everybody, named after the greatest Mark Wahlberg movie of all time. I know we just discussed it last week.
Have
but
you
I mean,
given that up yet? No, you're still angry.
No, not angry. It's just I remember sitting in the theater watching that movie and thinking to myself, like, did nobody turn to them and say, this is one of the stupidest scenes I've ever seen in a film of all time?
I know, but you have that personal connection to all of this, which kind of
kicks it up
a notch.
No. Take away all the other parts of it.
All right.
Just talking about the fact that Mark Wahlberg in that film felt the need to inject himself into every single scenario of everything that happened during the entire marathon incident. Like, what jurisdiction was he working for? Was he a Boston police officer working at the finish line? Was he a Cambridge police officer when he went and inspected what was going on over at the gas station? Was he working for the Watertown Police Department when he happened to be there when they found the guy in the boat?
The question is, when they brought in the expert, because there are always guys that advise on movies like this. No, this wouldn't look right. This wouldn't look right. Somebody must have gone to Wahlberg and said, this is ridiculous. You can't be in all of these places. You are a Boston cop, which means you have nothing to do with Cambridge. What was Wahlberg's answer?
It's like Eddie Murphy,
just like,
you know?
I gotta be in all places at all times. I'm the star. Make up a character. You know, listen, this is the way it'll confuse everybody. Don't make it somebody who actually, should be getting the respect and attention for doing all these things. Give me Tommy Saunders, fake Boston guy who collects baseball cards. And it's a cop on the edge, doesn't quite play by the rules. And then, of course, he's the only one who knows the streets. And we've played that scene before. I'm not even going to play this. I mean, it's one of the all-time ridiculous scenes where they have to – Kevin Bacon has to call in Mark Wahlberg because he's the only cop who knows what business is next to what other business on Boylston Street.
Yeah.
Probably the most photographed exactly. – the most photographed street in Boston, right where in front of them are laid out all of the pictures from the incident, so they can actually see that Crate and Barrel is indeed next to Abe and Louie's, but they needed the guy from the streets. They had to call him in. He's like, hey, you know, I heard you know these streets. What's next to, what's on the corner of this and this? And he goes, oh,
I could walk up and down those streets drunk and know, you know, Poorhouse, McGreevy's, Dillon's, Whiskey. I can do that one-eyed. Yeah.
There's no question. That movie, I remember walking out of that and just laughing and going, like, how could anyone have watched this and not gone, boy, if this isn't a vanity project, and I don't know what is. He made himself the hero in every single situation and, like, created a character so he could do that. Oh, Tommy, I never knew. I mean, it's like, and he had this, like, horrible backstory to make him more sympathetic. Like, you know, my wife's kid, you know, we had a kid together and he died at childbirth. And it was like, oh, I never knew, Tommy. You didn't need that. You just threw that in there to try to make him sympathetic.
Yes.
Like, it was so manipulative. But
Oddly enough, there isn't a showing that I can find on Patriots Day. Usually in a situation like that, you have on Patriots Day. It's never been more relevant than Mark Wahlberg. I haven't seen that anywhere.
See, what I would like is a movie of all of Wahlberg's characters in one. Like, maybe he's shooter, and, like, you know, then he's a boxer, and what, you know, like, kind of like just Forrest Gump was everything at once. Maybe, like, just all Mark Wahlberg movie characters all in one might work.
Do we have to include Spencer? Can we leave that out?
No, you can leave that one out.
Can we please leave that out?
You know what's so weird? It's like we're talking about some of these Mark Wahlberg characters, and they do sound clownish. Mark Wahlberg is legitimately a good actor when he wants to be. Like, that's the thing that's kind of perplexing about him. Like, when he first came onto the scene, you know, he was... no one expected anything out of the guy, but then he made Fear, which Fear was kind of like a teen stalker movie. He was great in that movie. Like, he was legitimately terrifying in that film, and I think that's one of his first ones. And then came Boogie Nights, and he was excellent in Boogie Nights. And people say, well, he's playing himself. Fine. It doesn't matter. He did a great job portraying Dirk Diggler. He was great. And he's made a couple other movies where he can be a good actor, but he just started taking these roles where it's like, make me the hero. Make me the king.
Hang on. You say that he... look, there are some in there that I like. Like, I liked Invincible a lot. I thought that was very good. Rockstar, you know, take it or leave it. Three Kings, take it or leave it.
I never said he pitched great roles. Right. I said he can be a good actor when he wants to be.
Which movie is that?
He was in all the Transformers movies with diarrhea.
Which movie is that?
Which good movies was he in?
No, which movies is he a great actor in?
Fear, I just mentioned, too. No, Fear and Boogie Nights.
I know, but those are, how old, 20 years old?
He was great in The Departed. He was great in The Departed.
He's good in The Departed, yeah.
Okay.
Like, when he wants to be a good actor, he can be it. It's just that he just picks... I mean, listen, the guy just cashes in. I mean, listen, if Michael Bay comes to you and says, I want you to yell at a bunch of robots and go, I ain't going to quit you, Prime, then you're going to do it for $20 million or however much money he
Good for him. I mean, hey, good for him. He's making a lot of money. But the idea that he has been this master thespian over these years that has been wildly overlooked, I think that's wrong.
That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying when he wants to be a good actor. He can be a very good actor. You know, it's like... You know, Nicolas Cage picks some weird ass roles, but I will say about Nicolas Cage, when Nicolas Cage wants to be the best actor on the planet, Nicolas Cage can be the best actor on the planet. I give you Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One of the all time great
freak out
scenes when he's at the airport. Love that movie. But it does stink that, you know, Patriots Day isn't quite going to be what it usually is, despite, of course, you know, what happened in 13. You know, Patriots Day was one of my favorite days of the year. There's no question. It's just an all-out party. I know every year, and Wallach, I don't know if you ever did this, and actually, Jomer, you might have done this in the later years, but, you know, we would always do, like, some sort of, like, bar gig right there, you know, on Boylston Street. And I think that if you were a bar and you wanted the best bang for your buck, you hired either me or Fred to do a bar gig on Patriots Day, because we might have been scheduled to be there for a couple hours. We stayed all day. I mean, we would just stay all day. It was like a big, gigantic party. And it's like, as much as I crap on the month of April for being miserable as far as the weather is concerned, because, like, you know, I always say it, January, February, March, you're prepared for crap weather. When it's snowing like it did on Friday in April, that sucks. It just sucks, and there's no way around it. It always seemed like Marathon Monday, Patriots Day, was legitimately the first great day of the year. Like, it almost seemed like a couple of days, just like this year it would have been. Friday was an awful day, and then for some reason on Monday, everything just took off. And it ended up being, it's like everyone been dying to go outside, and the streets were just packed with people. It was drinking, you know, all over the place. Every bar was packed. And I know the Red Sox game, when it came down, you would see people file out of the streets, and then everyone would be cheering for people they had no idea about on TV. And there would always be like the hot dog wheelchair guy going backwards over the finish line, which was rad. And then, you know, the stragglers that would come in, and I lived right, you know, up by the finish line. So I'd be eating dinner at like 7:30, and you just hear random people start cheering. It'd be one dude, like some old guy, just running down by himself down the street.
You see, you say that, and by the way, I mean, if you're going to say that, let's bring up the whole Mary thing where, you know, she stopped, you guys went home, came back, and she finished. How many years ago was that? 3, 4?
I think it was 3. Yeah, the doctors, it was the year that it rained so bad.
And I remember.
She was recovering, and they told her to stop because they thought she'd gotten, was going to get hypothermia. So she went home.
Let's give it up for Mary for finishing the marathon that year, and what a great story that was. I want to make sure that doesn't get overlooked. But you were talking about guys running the marathon and, you know, straggling in at 7 at night. I remember reading in Sports Illustrated, I want to say it was 10 years ago, anyone can finish the marathon, and the elite athletes finish first, but you know how difficult it is to finish last in a marathon? Mary was last that year for obvious reasons, but do you know how hard it is to try without stopping and finish last?
Yeah, you would hear...
That's really hard to do.
That was always cool, like... you would hear late at night, all of a sudden people start applauding.
Yeah.
And I remember there was one time where you just, you know, there's these people who... you know, met this guy and helped carry him. It was like an older dude, carry him over the line, which I thought was like really awesome. That was one cool thing that was about living like right by the finish line, is you saw all of that. Yeah. And, you know, you would hear random people, and usually it was drunk people coming out of the bars from drinking all day, and they would see a guy like, woo, start cheering. But you would know when those stragglers would come by. But that was a blast. And the only thing that would drive me crazy about Patriots Day was that you'd be hanging around, and like a week later, there'd still be dudes wearing their marathon medal. And I'm like, all right, man. Now you can stop.
You get one day.
I used to see that at the bar.
You get one day.
Okay.
I finished it. I did it yesterday. I'm not taking this off. It's a hell of an accomplishment. Anyone, 26.2 miles is a long drive. So congratulations. You ran all that way, whether it took you 4, 5, 6 hours. Great. Good for you. I'm sure you trained all year for it, but you get one day. Yeah. You don't get Thursday and Friday after the marathon, take the damn thing off.
I couldn't agree more. Murray, you're right, though. Like, I would see these guys go into the bar with their medal on, like, not even the day of the day of the race, whatever. You got it on, you wear it out. And John, I'm with you. One day. But I would see guys, like, a couple days later wear their medal into the bar as if they thought they were going to get free drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, first of all, A, you're probably going to get laughed at. B, if you're wearing your medal, I guarantee you there's other people in the bar who also ran the marathon, so stop feeling like you're special.
Seriously.
Like, if you're doing it in downtown Boston, half the people who probably went to that bar either ran in it or knew somebody who ran in it, so you're not, like, going to get, you know, hooked up or get a free drink.
I'd go to Dylan's. The dude would be wearing the medal and, like, the crown. You know what I mean? Like, the Reef crown on his head. And I'd be like, all right, bro.
What a crown?
Like, enough, bro.
What are you talking about, the Reef crown?
The actual winner was in the bar?
No, like a dude, though. Like, you know.
Oh,
like,
right.
They probably made it up for the
you
guy.
Do, you know? get that little wreath thing they put it, if you actually win the marathon. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. A couple of years back, you probably heard of Team Hoyt or Dick Hoyt.
Yes.
Oh, this guy would push his kid.
Just passed away.
I'd go to that. Yeah. Like, every year. Like, we root these dudes on and, like, that was a hell of a story. He passed away, actually. Like,
just passed away in the last couple of years.
But, like, that was a big story. The marathon's always, there's always some sort of story. And I was down there yesterday at Heinz, and there were news reporters doing stories all day down there. And
it's a party. It's like,
it's dead right now, though, Rich. Like, dude, it was scary watching 4-Lee signs on all those bars that you go to.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, and that's the thing. And you know, I hope when everything starts opening back up that a lot of these places that you know, who left the business, or you know, that it's a temporary thing. You hope,
and I know
there's a couple that you're seeing coming back, which I like Causeway is slowly starting to open back up. But yeah, Boylston Street, that took a huge hit. Like, there's a string of bars there that just aren't in operation anymore, and whether or not that ends up getting back to what it was, that's why they really, I mean, obviously could have used it this year. That would have been nice. When's it going to be? October now?
Columbus Day, October 11th.
Okay, October. Okay, well then, I would like to see it if, you know, they do it in October. I would love to see that be, you know, a huge weekend for those bars and maybe kind of a coming back to life celebration for places that I spent way too many hours in and over the last decade and a half.
It's not just the bars either. I mean, I just saw an article in the Boston Globe yesterday about all the office space. I mean, companies have left and are doing everything virtual and not coming back. I mean, downtown in general, not just bars.
Downtown in general is
gone. My wife's company took out a couple of floors of the Pru, and they're moving out. My wife has to clean our office today. I mean, it's the companies have left, the bars are empty, and I'm right there with you. I hope things come back. I really do, and it'll be later this year if it does happen. I hope that people reinvest in the city.
Well, I'm just looking forward to getting back to Sullivan's Tap and playing the Papa Shot before a Bruins game.
What, so. When is the big day? It's coming up, right?
Oh, for me being back?
Yeah.
I think 2 weeks from today.
All right.
And I think Rick's really, he wants to make sure everyone's vaccinated before we're all in the studio together. So I'll be looking at you next to Nick. I think I'll be sitting next to Nick and kind of waving at you guys.
Well, I mean, you'll have had two. I mean, Fred's going to have two as of Sunday, and May 11th is my second.
Oh, nice.
So we're all so that's 1 week after you get back.
So I think that you would be the last one then?
Yes, I would be the last one of the three of us. Yes.
All right. How about that? I'm going to give you a big old smooch when I see
you. Oh, don't
tease
me.
Big old smooch when I see you. COVID smooch.
Awesome.
All right. We have Bruins to talk about. Also, the Celtics this weekend. Man, both teams, fun as hell to watch. I got to tell you, I mean, I want to get a little bit into the Celtics later on because, you know, I know, Joe Murray, you've had a lot to say about where you think this team is going. But this Bruins team is just playing. Hey, we got two lines that work now. Mm-hmm. we got a full top six now that you can depend on. So we'll start with the Bruins first, and then we'll get to all the rest of the stuff right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What did you happen last night? 98.5, a Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And it was only a week ago that the Bruins got their asses kicked 8-1 by the same team. Boy, how things have changed.
The Caps get into the slot. Bruins zone diving to get it out as Pastrnak. Time and room for Marchand. Into the far circle. Shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand with the empty netter. His second of the day. And the Bruins with a 6-3 lead over the Caps.
Well, since their shellacking by the Capitals a week ago, the Bees have gotten healthier. Players were added at the trade deadline, and look at the difference it has made. The Bruins bust out a fun-as-hell 6-3 win over the East Division leading champs. The Capitals, Bergeron and Marchand, they continue to play at the highest level.
And now it's a 2-on-1 the other way. Marchand over the line with Pastrnak into the left circle. Centers Pastrnak to Bergeron. He scores! Patrice Bergeron with his second of the day as he beats the back check and sizzles it home. Bruins 5, Caps 3. three.
By the way, on that empty netter, I love that Marchand was looking for Bergeron at the end. Like, find a friend that would fight a bar full of maniacs for you the way that Marchand would do for Bergie. Like that, and he even like almost like looked, he was apologizing to him afterwards. Like, I'm sorry, man. I was looking, but I just want to go ahead and get
Bergeron
this done.
Was playing defense.
Yeah.
He was doing his job, you know?
Yeah, but I just, that is one of the best bromances, if you will, in Boston sports. But what has truly been good to see is that the Bruins may have a real top six now.
Along the left side, Hall, scooped up by Smith, centered, Krejci, pull and drag, shoots, he scores! That was a gorgeous goal! Pull and drag, he goes top shelf, 4-3 Bruins!
Ooh, the patience on that one. How he just sat there and waited for, I don't know what guy from the Capitals that was. It was sliding in front of him on the ice. He just sat there and waited with the puck, and boom. Krejci looks like the Krejci of old lately. Two goals yesterday, but that second line has been lights out as of late. Taylor Hall had goals on consecutive nights against the Isles. Also had a fantastic assist for Krejci. Craig Smith, 18 points in his last 16 games. This is as good as the second line has looked in a long time, Wallach.
Honest to God, you watch this team, and they're unrecognizable from the team that got slapped around last weekend. And obviously Sweeney, and it's been gone over many times, Sweeney added exactly what this team needed. He didn't give up a lot. But there's something else that's going on here. It's not the Krejci goals, which are nice to see, and Taylor Hall being on his line certainly helps, and Craig Smith is red hot. This team now has the ability to get punched in the face and not fall down.
Yesterday,
they started well, and then all of a sudden, Connor Clifton kept committing stupid penalties that cost his team goals. So all of a sudden, they're down 3-2. They started so well, and then they're down 3-2, and we all know what kind of firepower the Capitals have. You just saw them score 8 goals against the Bruins a week ago.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. That's the difference.
Yeah.
The other team fights back now, and it doesn't matter. The Bruins, because they have two lines and because their defense is relatively healthy now and Mike Riley has helped, they come back at you now. And look, defense, and by the way, Riley did not play very well yesterday at all. But defense
was all good, baby.
Not really in the second period, it wasn't. Defense was optional. Defense was optional in the second period, Sarge. And I got to be honest with you, the Bruins outscored a very good offensive team yesterday. And now they're, what, 3 points behind Pittsburgh, 4 behind the Islanders, and 6 behind the Capitals? I mean, these teams that looked out of reach before no longer look out of reach, and the Bruins are going to be a pain in the ass to beat in a 7-game series.
The other thing, too, Joe, is that, you know, they I heard the term overused, but it truly was what they call a character win, you know, when you're able to just nut up despite everything that was going on. And as you said, I mean, the firepower over there to outscore them was great. I mean, also having healthy bodies on the ice, Joe, helps as well.
Ovechkin didn't score. Like, you keep him out of the net and things are fine. Let's be honest about the Bruins. Let's be honest about them. They probably should have sold at the deadline. They probably should have sold for the future.
Why?
I don't know. It's at some point they got to look ahead here. No Krejci next year. Rask.
Best line in hockey. They had, you know, obviously, you know, well, Rask is. I mean, no Rask. You're saying that they.
Well, we didn't know about Swayman, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know,
we kind of did.
Well,
you're going to depend on the guy like going the rest of the way with Tuukka Rask.
No, but you knew the future was pretty good way things were
going. That's my point. Is that now, whoever's hurt on defense, they play well. Whoever's in net, they play well. Now they know that they can beat any team in the league. Like, they know they can. So in a 7-game series, they can beat anyone. Washington's always had their number. They play them again, right? They'll play them 8 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 4-3 right now. So
4-3 Bruins, yes.
The way I look at it, they can beat any team. Like, they, in my opinion, they can beat Tampa Bay.
Well, the
like,
fact
this
that they
is
beat the
Isles shot.
The way that they did, that to me was just like they're the impossible team. They're the ones like, all right, they've figured out the Bruins. The Isles just have the – and then you've seen the way that they – seem to take them easily over the last couple of games. And I'm not saying that that's something you'll see in a seven-game series, but it's got to give you hope. But you're right. I mean, they've proven to themselves that they can beat anybody out there. And just the fact that they're scoring on that second line is huge right now. It's massive.
Secondary scoring has always been the issue. They got it the last few games, and yesterday their stars stepped up.
By the way, I want to see the Bruins and Capitals playing a seven-game series. Oh. I mean, I've built up an incredible amount of hatred for the Capitals. Tom Wilson is next level. We know about this guy. But what Garrett Hathaway did yesterday, I mean, what a punk move at the end of the – was it the end of the first or the end of the second? I think it was the end of the
end
first.
Of the second? You're talking about the Tenorti hit?
Yeah, just – no. I'm talking about the hit after the siren went off for the end of the period.
Yeah.
And then he skates away like he didn't do anything. And then there was the Tenorti hit where Tenorti was gushing blood. What was it, his forehead, his nose? I couldn't tell.
You could just see it dripping from his face.
Yeah, they had to take time out to clean up the ice. After he left, that's when you knew it was bad.
Well,
he did that. He did that and then shook his head after they ejected him. I'm like, yeah, you did that. That's the kind of guy that you like to hate over a seven-game series. I can't wait.
It's true. And as a matter of fact, let's get to some of that because Bruce Cassidy had some words about some of those hits that were out there, Wilson's and Hathaway's. So we'll get to that, and also we'll talk about the Celtics as well right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we were just talking about that Bruins-Capitals game and how it would be great to have a nice seven-game series against those guys, because if you wanted a reason to truly hate the Capitals, they reminded you of one yesterday.
Forecheck, and that led to a good chance. Big hit by Hathaway.
Yeah, and off balance was Tenorti. He's down and hurt. The referee sees that he is bleeding.
Wagner's going after Hathaway.
Yep. Hathaway came for the hit. Tenorti's back was turned to him, and it was just a face into the dasher and into the boards. And you see the result. Jared Tenorti off to get looked at.
Yeah, first it was Tom Wilson's high hit to Sean Corrali there in the third, but that Garnet Hathaway shot right there where he nailed Tenorti from behind into the boards. That got himself a five-minute major and a game misconduct. I know that yesterday after the game, Cassidy was asked about those hits.
It's tough on Jared. Comes out with some facial injuries and hopefully he's not concussed, but that's boarding. Whether it's 5-2, however you look at it, that's up to the refs to determine. But physical with Washington again. Looks like that's going to be the style of play, and our guys just have to be prepared for it. We've got to make sure we dish out our share of hits as well.
I had to double check yesterday after the game, but I was like, hang on, Tom Wilson, didn't he do something earlier this season with the Bruins? And yeah, it was the Carlo hit, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That got him suspended for like seven games for a while because
it
was that headshot.
Smashed his head up against the glass in the corner. It was a clear headshot. But that's what Tom Wilson does. Look, Tom Wilson is a dirty player, but he's the kind of guy I'd want on my team too. He can score 20 goals, but he plays on the edge. I mean, the Bruins fans can't be throwing stones. How many years do we root for Brad Marchand?
But he's changed his game.
He has.
And we called out Marchand when he was dirty.
I understand
like that.
But he was still our guy. He was reviled around the league. I mean, there was a players' poll in the Athletic about 18 months ago. Which player do you hate the most? Marchand beat Tom Wilson.
Gang, right? He was one of them.
But here's the difference: is that guys like that shouldn't be celebrated. And with Brad Marchand, I know a lot of people called him out there. I mean, if there was people who thought that it was great that he was slew-footing guys, then I don't know what you're going to do. But Brad Marchand also realized that he was such a great player playing the right way that he didn't have to be that guy.
True.
And it took him, what, 2-3 years of gray area for him to figure that out. Like, you know, he started off being the spaz, and then his game got so good that for a while he just couldn't figure out what kind of player he was. And then finally when he made the transition, and now look at him. He's one of the best playmakers in the NHL.
Didn't he get suspended at a terrible time? Like, the team really needed him. He let the team down. There were down bodies. Like, they even, like, let him know it, and he was just really upset with himself. He's really changed his game around. And, like, dude, I saw a stat yesterday. In, like, the last 6 seasons, Ovechkin has, like, 255 goals. Yeah. Marchand is 196.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the best player the Bruins have. By far,
sure.
At this point.
There's no question. But I just to your point, John, guys like Tom Wilson should not be celebrated. Like, that shouldn't be somebody that we go, oh, you'd love to have him on your team. No, I wouldn't. I want a 20-goal score, but yeah. I don't want a guy who is, going to be suspended for seven games.
The difference
has a reputation like this.
The difference between Wilson and Marchand of a couple of years ago is that Wilson's big enough to back it up and doesn't skate away. That's the difference.
Wilson's changed his game, too. I know he's had a history. But he's also been a better player. But, dude, going back years ago, though, like Ulf Samuelsson and, like, those guys, like,
Claude Lemieux, let's go.
People loved those guys. And you needed those guys on your team to win. Like, they protected your stars.
Yeah. But now, if you've got a guy who can score 20 goals, you don't want him suspended. Cut that stuff out of your game. Get that out of your game. If you're that important and you're that good, prolific a scorer, quit it. Let somebody else be a guy who can maybe play on the edge.
But that's the thing. I mean, I respect guys that can back up what they do. Guys like Hathaway can't. Guys like Hathaway take cheap shots and, he's an energy guy. He's an agitator. If you're an agitator and you can score 20 goals and you're as big as Tom Wilson, fine. I don't like you, but I secretly wish you were on my team. Guys like Hathaway are kind of like guys like Matt Cook back in the day, who handed Savard the concussion he never came back from. I mean, you're a third-line grinder who's barely hanging on that needs to do this in order to keep a job, and if you can't back up what you do, I have no respect for you.
Well, on the positive side, you know, Patrice Bergeron afterwards, and you were saying this, Joe, is that, by the way, someone was giving you crap for being very positive about the Bruins. I saw you retweet something, so Joe's very negative, and I'm like, I thought he was really positive about the Bruins. He said that this team could beat anybody, but it's true. They've kind of proven that to themselves. It's kind of like what we're going to see, hopefully, out of the Celtics, and we'll get to them in a minute, over the next couple of weeks. Like, if they can win these few big games coming up, that's what I want. I want there to be a streak where they say, we can beat anybody, and that's what the Bruins have done lately. So Patrice obviously likes what he's seen from the team as of late, and who wouldn't? Here's what he had to say about the team's cohesiveness.
Staying with it, worrying about the next shift, try to learn from what just happens. On our penalty kill in the third was much better, regrouped and a bit more aggressive. They take the lead and we stuck with it. We know that if we play the right way, we can get back in games. We've done it many times before. It was nice to see that poise and that confidence.
That was nice. And the best thing about the Bruins schedule is that they got the Sabres again. Are they back-to-back against the Sabres?
Three in a row.
Yeah. Feels like it's the 48th time this season that they played the Sabres. Well, but, I'll take as many games against Buffalo as I can take.
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday again in Buffalo.
Is it three?
Three in a row. They had one because Buffalo had that COVID outbreak. They had a game that was moved.
Yep.
And it was moved to this week. And it's a back-to-back. So three-game series in Buffalo starting tomorrow night.
That's not fun. I'm sorry. This isn't fun. All right, I'm going to be negative now. Watching Buffalo three times in a row sucks. And unless they beat them and beat them bad, then I'm in.
Which
but, I don't want to watch this for the next three games.
Buffalo sucks, but that's going to be – hopefully they'll be able to just, destroy and run up the score on these guys. And I'd love to see Taylor Hall, obviously, go nuts against his old team. That would be fun. I don't mind three games against a crappy team if they can just absolutely kick
their
ass.
When you're trying to make up points, yeah, I'm all for it.
We'll absolutely take that. So there you go. Of course, you can hear the puck.
Now, can we rip them if they lose? Any of these?
Yeah,
games?
Of course.
Okay,
That's the great thing of having a microphone in front of you, Joe. Gives you free rein like that.
I expect nothing less out of you, Joe Murray, most negative person on the station, you will call it, as a matter of fact.
I don't think I'm the most negative. I don't know. I definitely am not the most negative.
Have you not listened to Knights for the last decade?
Not.
What's wrong with you?
Definitely not.
Jesus.
Well, the puck drops at 6:30. Got an early one. I like it. And you can hear it right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Well, the Celtics, they just look like a completely different team lately.
Marcus Smart, 1-on-4, has the offensive rebound. Gets it back from Kemba Walker. Bounce entry to Tatum. Turns the corner. They triple team. Kick out Smart. Fakes everybody away. He's wide open. Takes the three and drills it.
He faked the snot out of a couple of people and then knocked down the shot.
Everybody in the building was frozen like the Golden State defense as Marcus Smart took the extra second and made it count.
Admitted that ruled. As much as I know you're not a Marcus Smart guy, Joe, admitted that that actually ruled right there.
It ruled?
Listen, I mean, Marcus Smart has had his issues, but that was a great moment.
He had a nasty steal the other night, too, that like...
Yeah.
I was like, how did he do that?
Saturday night's game, and again, it's 8:30 Saturday night. Odds are not a lot of people watched it, but I got to be honest with you, that was worth watching every second of Saturday night.
Well, really, first half, if you think about it, they were down 16. I thought it was over, man.
Like, they got the last 10 points of the first half to make it close.
Marcus Smart, I'm sorry. I know we think he's great. He had nothing on Steph Curry. Like, that's how good Steph Curry is. I think we maybe take for granted how great he is as a generational player.
He's unreal.
But the fact that Tatum hit that shot at the half, they're down 6, and they led the rest of the way there.
So there's been a ton to like about the Celtics play lately, mostly because it's looked like the exact opposite of the garbage we had to sit through during most of March. Now, and John, we've talked about this, real defense is being played where it just seemed like they were incapable of doing it a couple weeks ago. Come from behind wins. You never saw that. Clutch shots. Did you ever see that? No extended brain fart periods of time where the team just that they couldn't recover from. Ball movement. That was something that was lacking. But more than anything, it's been the play of Jason Tatum that has woken up this team. Gone are the days of dribbling out the shot clock only to chuck up a three. Now, I mean, he's playing downhill and going to the basket, and because of it, he's getting to the line as well. He has become, I got so frustrated at the beginning of the season because he has become so good at everything in the paint lately that it was awesome to see him finally utilizing it as well. It's like one of his best weapons and he just was never using it. And now that you see him doing it, it's like, where has this been all season?
It's the difference between being a great scorer and a number one. Yep. That's what we've seen over these last four or five or six games and where the Celtics are playing so well. Is that Tatum is still scoring and he's not firing up nearly as many threes at the end of the shot clock. As you said, he's spending more of his time going to the basket, and when it's not there, he's making the correct decisions, finding people on the perimeter or finding someone else away from where the defense is. The evolution of his game, this is the natural next step. You saw him explode at the end of last season. You saw him kind of take a step back, trying to find out where he really was and what it truly meant to be the number one guy. But he's really taken a step forward. And if he continues this, the Celtics have an opportunity to surprise somebody.
I'll give Tatum his credit. Can we please not credit Kendrick Perkins for something that he said in a phone call for Jason Tatum's turnaround, please? Because I can't stand hearing that one anymore. Listen, Tatum, he was soft, right? He was a guy that wasn't playing well, and this team was terrible in the fourth quarter. Look up their fourth quarter net ratings.
Oh, yeah.
They were the worst, and one of the worst in the league. Now, and on a betting term, when they were losing at halftime, you bet against them, you won money every single time. Now, they're one of the best defensive teams in the second half, and they're playing defense, and that's the difference.
And you look, now, the argument is, and will continue to be, okay, who have they beaten? All right, Golden State, missing some people. The Lakers, missing a lot of people. Missing LeBron, missing Antonio Davis. Denver, missing Jamal Murray. You know, they barely escaped.
They still played against
you know what? The argument can be made without Jamal Murray that Denver is Jokic and then a bunch of other guys.
LeBron and Davis.
Now the Celtics have clearly taken a step forward. I think Atlanta won last night. They beat Indiana, so they're tied now for fourth place with Atlanta. They have Chicago tonight, and they catch another break. Zach LaVine has COVID. He more than likely will not play tonight. And LaVine is one of the best, 10, 15 players in the league at this point. So later this week, you will get your test. And we talked about this at the end of last week, Rich.
Yeah.
They play Chicago tonight, and then they have a vicious back-to-back. They have Phoenix at home on Thursday night, and if you haven't been paying attention, Phoenix is second place in the West.
They're
now.
Insane.
They are very good.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, you're at Brooklyn. So let's see. That will shut everybody up. If they go win those two games, or if they win at least one of them, that will quiet a lot of doubts.
Durant played and left last night, too.
I know. He has a thigh contusion, and who knows with Brooklyn. You know,
doesn't matter.
It's a different guy every night. But Brooklyn is and has been, for the balance of the season, better than you, regardless of who's been out there for them. So those are the two games to watch. They got Chicago tonight. That should be an easy win, and then we'll see at the end of the week.
Here's the only reason I say that it might not be, because the injury report tonight is hysterical. Jaylen Brown, questionable, illness, non-COVID. Evan Fournier, still out because he's got the health and safety protocols. Jason Tatum, probable, got a left ankle impingement. Kemba Walker, illness, non-COVID, questionable. Robert Williams, left knee soreness, out. So you have four out of the five starters that are out, and your best bench player, well, not out, potentially out tonight, questionable for the most part. So we'll see how that goes. So that means tonight's going to be the Grant Williams game. Grant Williams scores 40. Mark it down.
How about Jabari Parker? How about the Jabari Parker game?
That was
neat.
That was kind of neat that they did that.
I'm interested in him. I mean, former number two overall pick. He has no legs, but the other day he had it. Listen, Evan Turner was a former number two overall pick. He's been known to resurrect these type of players. I don't want to get excited. I don't.
Well, I mean, there's no need to until they beat real teams.
Hey, if he can stay out of
it's nice to see them progress, and they're going
good.
In the right direction.
I thought he looked good, didn't he, besides a turnover early?
If he can stay out of the hospital, that's the thing. Parker can score 20 points a game if he can stay healthy, but he hasn't been.
We got a break. All right, we'll be back in just a sec.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hope.
That's a band you'd like, Joe. They're like, you're a Deftones fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. They're like, they're excellent. They're like Failure, Deftones.
What, John? Didn't even ask me. No, Joe, this is a guy, this is a band you would like.
John, what's your favorite Deftones song?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why. John, I got a band that you'll like. They sound a lot like the Jump in the Saddle band of the Curly Shuffle fame.
I appreciate that. Is it Foggy Mountain Breakdown? A banjo,
no, they're called
man.
Barnes and Barnes. They did the song Fish Heads.
Which one of us is wearing the Topps baseball card t-shirt?
I love the Topps
baseball card. Okay, let's just make sure we have things in line.
Rich,
here.
I was always told I had a chino look back in the day when I had hair.
Oh, yeah, you looked like chino?
Yeah, a little hair, a little goatee there, you know? It's like a little back to school, you know?
When did you have hair? What year was that?
Well, actually, I lost hair. I shaved my head. I got captain of the football team my junior year, shaved it, and never grew back.
So 17 was the last time you had hair.
Never grew back.
Wow.
Just castans on the sides.
Wow.
I need a Joe Murray Deftones Photoshop soon. Joe Murray is the singer of the Deftones. Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's a good band. Teenage Wrist, and their new album is excellent. Excellent. All right, so this has got to suck if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, because they're a team that just when it looked like things were, you know, on the up and up, they got Zion down there. They got, like, some decent pieces around him, young pieces. They screw up and they hire Stan Van Gundy, who obviously can't coach anymore. I mean, we've seen this happen, you know, in Detroit. He goes there, and for a hot minute, they were all right, and then everyone turns on him. And he just doesn't seem like one of those guys that just can connect with younger players anymore. And then you get this situation last night. I don't know if you heard this. So Zion, you know, they played in Madison Square Garden last night. And Zion afterwards, they ask him about what was it like to play here. And he looks like the cat who ate the canary. That dude is smiling, grinning from ear to ear. And here's what he had to say.
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
All right, he's going to be a Nick, isn't he? Like, he said outside New Orleans and kind of rolled his eyes, like, you know, outside of New Orleans, whatever. I love playing in Madison Square Garden. It's the great. He basically filleted the city of New York and Madison Square Garden for, what, 45 seconds there. And now, of course, all of the papers there are writing that get it ready. Only a couple more years. Time to clear the decks, clear some space.
How many times have you had that article written in New York?
Oh, sure.
How many years? Only a couple more. You watch. Cap space, here we go.
Yeah, and they get stuck with Eddie Curry and all these other bums.
Now, they have a guy. They have a legit guy. Julius Randle is having one of those seasons that you dream about if you're an NBA player where it all comes together and you are a stud. That's a guy, if he keeps playing like this, you can build around. And, okay, fine, you have a guy like, oh, okay, this is a guy that I want to go play with. But, I mean, don't tell me Zion's going to New York.
Oh, that's one of the first times a player just straight up basically showed all of his cards. And he's like, dude, I want to be here. Like,
well, no, I mean, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, New York, you know, with the basketball history, they don't necessarily want to play for the Knicks.
He said, I'm glad you asked me that, as if he's been waiting for someone to ask him how awesome New York City
was. I'm sure when the draft happened, the Knicks were like one of the favorites to be the number one pick.
Yep.
It didn't happen, and he was probably upset about it.
Crushed. Things aren't going well down in New Orleans. Okay, Redick, when he got traded, ended up getting all pissy and bitched at the management. Like,
yeah,
things
seven,
are not going
they're
well.
They're like 7 games under 500.
They have talent on that team.
They do. Underperforming. It's a bad situation. And if you're a guy like Zion, who is a generational player, you got to be counting down the days till you get out of there. And I love that city, and obviously they are dying for a good basketball team. And what has it been since Chris Paul and although Rondo was down there for a little bit, they looked all right. Yeah. So, but either way, I just heard that and I was like, oh, that's got to suck if you're a New Orleans fan. And everyone in New York's like, you know, covering themselves in peanut butter right now. I would. If I heard him say that about the Celtics, I'd be losing my mind this morning, wouldn't you? Hell yeah, I would.
If Jason Tatum was like, yeah, you know, I really like, I really like New Orleans, you know.
Oh, I'd lose my crap. Sure. I'd be like, what are you doing? Sure.
Well, the Lakers, imagine if he said, oh, yeah, LA is my home. Yeah, I love it there.
Right. Yeah. Which he probably will end up doing eventually. All right. No commercials, just Joe Murray with the headlines. And I have a question for both you guys when we get back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.